heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation. And now, Malcolm.
Well, only 8% of black voters identify in some way with the Republican Party. This is according to a 2018 Pew Research Center survey. And then a recent AP NORC poll, only 4% of black people said they think Trump's actions have been good for African Americans in this country. You have to start to question what's really going on here. Why is there such an allegiance with Black America and the Democratic Party? It's a story you hear. It goes back decades and decades in the makings, historically. But it's a head scratcher when you look at today and you see some of the real stats and numbers that are coming forth here. And the ultimate question we want to ask, of course, is, has President Trump delivered for the black American community? That's really the question you want to start to ask yourself, because, you know, can the Republican Party, can they start to peel some of that off? You have to remember, people, the Democratic Party has been really, really brilliant, really, at identity politics. They play it better than anybody. They've made a successful career out of it. It's how they've run the party. But it has worked for them. It has worked for them to appeal to various groups, and they've done it very successfully. You can argue that all day long, but they've done it across the spectrum. They've done it with Jewish American. They've done it with the Hispanic Americans. I mean, they've done it with black Americans. They've done it with so many groups, okay? That's just something they're very, very good at. But why aren't the Republicans doing a better job with that? You know, a lot of times when you conjure up an image when you think of the Republican Party, well, a lot of people would think that they would see just a bunch of old white men in the room that's what people typically say. And there's some interesting paradigms going on here that I want to talk to you about today, some interesting facts and figures. We're going to have a great conversation here. I want to talk about the future of Black America as well, where we're headed as a community and as Americans as a whole here. I want to do that and bring on a gentleman here that you've heard and seen on the network here. Ron Edwards is here. And so Ron is a columnist at America Out Loud. He's a talk show host here in our nation, and he has a terrific segment that runs on the network. That's a 90-second segment, very thought-provoking. You'll hear it various times throughout the day, and it always makes you think. And that's the key to this thing. It's the key to everything we do here, is to make you think here. I want to start with a piece that was in a subsidiary of USA Today, and that is, it was in the Cincinnati Inquirer, which is part of the USA Today brand. It's an opinion piece, President Trump Has Delivered for African Americans, it was, written by Ken Blackwell, was the contributor to this piece here. And he says some very revealing things in here that I thought would be a good place to start. He says that since President Trump took office at this point when this was written, and by the way, this was written here, as I say, in August of 2019, so it's not an old piece, it's a fairly new piece, but within the last few years, he said at that point 2.5 years ago, he has delivered transformative results. From passing tax cuts and renegotiating bad trade deals to rebuilding our military and fostering a booming economy, the president is making all parts of America and Ohio greater. Now, he goes on to say, on top of keeping his promises for our economy, President Trump was successful in passing historic bipartisan criminal justice reform known as the First Step Act, which we will talk about today. This involved easing sentences for nonviolent crimes and allowing those sentenced under racially motivated mandatory minimums. So this was a big deal. Of course, you're not hearing much about it today, but this was a big deal. It was a lot of talk about this coming from the White House. So let's start with the fact of, what is the current administration? Are they delivering for Black America, Ron?
Absolutely. In my opinion, it has delivered and more. But Malcolm, it depends on what you're looking for. If you're looking for opportunities, if you're looking for the ability to open a business or find a job, to move up in life economically and to be able to buy a home, rent an apartment, whatever. If those are the things you're looking for, absolutely 100% sure the president has delivered for the Black American community. However, if that is not what you're looking for, if you are brainwashed, if you are indoctrinated into a certain mindset, that is not what you're looking for, and you don't care about that, even though that may be your rhetoric. And what I have observed is that much of the Black American community has been so indoctrinated and filled with hatred for this country, hatred for our constitutionally limited form of life, our exceptional nation, that they are, like many young college students, more ensconced with following and pulling for oppression in our nation. I'll give you an example. For years, the Congressional Black Caucus has been making an annual trek to the nation of Cuba, or as Jesse Jackson would call it, Cuber, to get instruction on how to disrupt our American culture, to never be satisfied with true progress, economic progress or whatever, to always find a problem, to always be an agitator for the negative while you're pretending to say you want more opportunities, that you're fighting against oppression. I have never, ever, ever in the history of my studies of world history seen such a lack of oppression as I see today in the United States of America, by whether it's from the federal and many state levels. The oppression that I do find, however, is from those very Black communities that are doing all the bitching and moaning, and that are doing all the hatred things toward one another. For example, in Chicago, Blacks are shooting each other at a higher level than you're seeing in warfare in Iraq and in Iran. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing more than a lot of blatant hypocrisy. And this, of course, has been, the plan for a long time of the Democrat Party. The Democrat Party hates Black people. And what they have done through this government school system is actually persuaded Black people to accept what used to be the physical oppression of Black people. Now they've taken on that mantle, and Black people in huge numbers in Chicago, Baltimore, and elsewhere are oppressing themselves. And then they turn around and blame the system. This is all part of the systematic.
Ron, the culture you're speaking about, the culture you've laid out there right now for Black America, let me ask you this here. This oppression you talk about and this culture itself, which we'll get into the Democrat Party in a moment here, but based on what you've laid out there, and when you talk about crime, you mentioned Chicago, but also let's not forget Black abortions. Within the community itself, they seem to be, a lot of the problems exist within the Black American community, but this, I assume this is the problem as to why prison rates or the numbers are so staggering, why so many Black Americans, and the ratio is absolutely amazing of how many that end up in prison. I mean, let me give you a couple numbers here, Ron, and for everybody to know. Between 1980 and 2015, the number of people incarcerated in America increased, listen to this, from roughly 500,000 to over 2.2 million. Now, that is a whole. That is unbelievably amazing what's happened. Mm-hmm. We are imprisoning more people in this country than anywhere. In fact, the United States makes up about 5% of the world's population, and yet we have 21% of the world's prisoners. So we're imprisoning a lot of people for a lot of different reasons. Yes. Here's what I want to share with you. In 2014, the latest numbers on this, African-Americans constituted 2.3 million, or 34% of the total 6.8 million correctional population. And more than that, Ron, African-Americans are incarcerated at more than five times the rates of whites. The imprisonment rate for African-American women is even twice that of white women. And children, African-American children, represent 32% of children who are arrested. So the numbers are absolutely staggering. Now, everything I just lay out there, you know, which nobody really wants to talk about this, but is that, I assume part of the reason of that is because of the culture you just laid out, that there's this, this culture of hate with the, why is that?
Well, there's a culture of hate. There's a culture of, see, when you also have, when you couple hatred with a lack of intellectual development, with indoctrination against all that is good, including this country, when you have all those, and then you can throw in the destruction of a family, the desire to not have male, strong male authority in the home because of feminazism, black feminazism, you're going to have a recipe for a disaster. And this has been planned and drawn up by the Democrats and other folks for a long time. They could not take down this country wholesale, so they started with the black population. They honed in on Democrats. They were able to fool them into thinking that they were for them, and they called them victims. And they said that repeatedly that America is against you, and you have no hope, no help. And by the way, we will help you destroy the black male and the family. We will help you destroy yourselves, and we will make you like it, love it, and want it, and you will be a part of the problem. And I'll give you two cities as an example, Seattle and Cleveland. Seattle, 11% of the population is black. 90% of the crimes are also committed by the black Americans in Seattle. Cleveland, the population of blacks has dwindled down to 42%. When I left, it was around 30%, then it shot up to 56%. Now it's down to 42%. But yet the majority of the crimes in Cleveland are committed by black Americans. They choose this. They choose to do these activities. And guess what? If you do the crime, you're going to do the time. And I think it's totally asinine to feel sorry for people that are locked up in greater numbers than anyone else, especially if they're committing greater numbers of crimes than anyone else. I mean, that fits the activity. And people have to straighten themselves out before they can expect other changes to be made. I'm black myself, but yet I've been pulled over by police officers, but I've never, ever been arrested for any problems. I mean, we're all pulled over, for example, for driving, you know, when you're driving around. Sometimes the reasons are just, sometimes they're not. But I have never, ever, 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 wherever I've been pulled over, had a real problem that you see sometimes across the country with these police officers.
So that's a real interesting point you just make there. The fact that there's always this idea that, and we've heard this from a lot of young black men, that they are more likely to be pulled over by a police officer, some law enforcement community. And you just said it's happened to you as well. You know, we can sugarcoat that or ice that however we want, but I would assume that comes back to a lot of what you just said in your comments before that, whereas black crime in a lot of these communities has gone through the roof and there's a lack of respect. So law enforcement,
Yes. Is
that what's happened? Is that what's happened?
That is exactly what has happened. And people have to face that issue, especially my white friends who want to run around feeling sorry for the black community. Mm-hmm. They have to face facts. Sometimes you have to have tough love. And if people really want to see the black community improved, they have to be willing to allow the truth to be told to people. In order to change your life, you have to learn the truth, even if it hurts. Mm-hmm. And I love Americans, black, white, or whatever, enough to tell you the truth, whether it hurts your little feelings or not. Mm-hmm. In order for blacks to obtain a higher level of living, they have to first desire that. Then they have to prepare themselves. Then they have to work at it. Then they have to obtain it. You cannot get it any other way. But most of the time, and I learned this the hard way, Malcolm, I was totally naive when I first moved to Detroit, even though I've lived in New York, grew up in Cleveland, and seen most of our major cities. Okay. I was naive in a sense. I moved to Detroit, and I learned the hard way through conversations with people ranging from former Congressman John Conyers to the Mayor Coleman Young to many other leaders in the black community, which I was not even allowed to live in because they threatened my life. But I learned. This is where I learned that a lot of the blacks are programmed to only voice their desire for opportunities, but never be satisfied or accept real opportunities.
The fact that you were being threatened, was that because of your values and your belief structure and the way you were talking?
I was not only verbally threatened, I was accosted by two gentlemen in the parking lot at Cobo Hall after getting off of work one day. I was a news talk show host, morning talk show host. The show was called Morning Magazine. And I would tell the truth about the city and about things that are going on, and I would ask questions to the population like, what have you wrought? I mean, do you really want solutions? And the mayor did not like that. And he was, you know, he thought he was Mayor Daley, but unlike Daley, he didn't have real solutions to build up the city. Yeah. And he sent a couple of henchmen to deal with me. Wow. And well, that didn't work out in their favor. Wow. I'll just put it to you that way. But wow. Yeah, these things happen. They mm-hmm. come after you if you yeah. tell the truth. This is how much they are in line with what I will tell you right off the bat is evil. Malcolm, you've had $23 trillion spent by the federal government alone on supposedly helping black Americans through these years. Wow. All the way back to Lyndon Johnson's, that racist's so-called Great Society. And then you had the urban renewal. A lot of money wasted.
How many years are you talking with that tree, those trillions? Any idea? What are you talking, 50 years, 100 years?
You're starting back during the 1969, 68, I think he was in office.
Okay.
Actually before that, because he got in office in 64. He took over for Kennedy. So you're talking about from the mid-60s until now. It's about $23 trillion in counting, maybe more than that, that have been spent, wasted on these government programs. And guess what, Malcolm? Since 1964 till now, the percentage of people below the poverty line is the same.
So it's done nothing. It's done nothing, you're saying, the impact of these.
Nothing. You cannot take barrels of money and just hurl it at a problem and then use that money to enact policies and even building things that are of no help, that bring ruination, black business districts with highways.
Yeah, right, yeah. Right. Ron, let me not fail to ask you, those dollars we're speaking about, I mean, those are some staggering numbers you just bring out there. And like, is this documented somewhere, or is this a study or a fact, or is this just a rough, I mean.
Oh, no, it's not. It's not a figment of my imagination.
That's what I'm asking.
No, the history of the President Lyndon Johnson's Great Society. Okay. You can look at urban renewal spending through the years. Just those things alone, you can find and document what I'm saying.
So you've done the math on that with your studies, is what you're saying. And
I didn't do the math. I looked it up, and so these are government figures.
Okay, all right.
And it may be more than that because it was a couple of years ago when I first looked at the figures directly.
Right.
So, I mean, and they continue to spend.
Right.
Look at what they're spending on public housing.
Right.
But yet, it is a disaster.
Well, that's their answer to everything, Ron, is to throw money at it. We know that's government's answer for everything. You know that. I know that. We all know that. Let me ask you this. When did you become a conservative-minded? What year was that?
Okay. Well, I won't give you the year, but I didn't know I was a conservative. Someone called me a conservative one year. It was during the Reagan years. They said, oh, you're one of those conservatives. But I never knew that I was a conservative.
Nice.
I was brought up with these certain principles. I had a great dad, thank God. And he taught me well. And when I saw that what dad taught me concerning principles and how this country should be working, and I saw things that were being enacted, they weren't not lining up.
Right.
With the principles that I was taught. And so then I started getting into things and I'm saying, well, wait a minute, this works, this doesn't.
Yeah.
Why are not these people enacting and going for what works?
Was your dad a Democrat or Republican?
To be honest with you, I do not know because he died when I was 12.
Interesting.
But I know if he were alive today, he would be considered a conservative.
Right.
I don't know if he even... He would be considered a conservative.
Was you now in your youth? Was you in your mindset, or was you a Democrat early on in your life? Or?
Well, I never voted as a Democrat because they never lined up with the principles. I just thought, you know, when I started voting during the Reagan years, he matched what I was taught. I mean,
so when you
Ronald
said
Reagan,
when you said moments ago that you wouldn't say the year, is that because you really don't know the year is what you're thinking? You've always been this mindset. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
The principles I was brought up on, I did not see what my black contemporaries that I met later in life were talking about.
Yeah.
I did not grow up that way. Yeah. I didn't grow up in the America, the racist America that they're talking about. Where I grew up, there were Polish people. There were Italians. We had an American Indian family on the corner. My next door neighbors were Italians, and we all got along. We all flew our flags at Independence Day. It just, America wasn't this racist, hateful place that I was told about in my later years, especially during my collegiate years. God forbid.
All right, let me tell folks a couple of things here as you're listening to Ron Edwards. What an amazing conversation already. Now, every time I hear you speak, Ron, I become more and more of a fan every single time we talk, man. I got to tell you, you're just, let me tell also folks a couple of things here. The recent, just a previous article that Ron Edwards has on America Out Loud is one amazing read. A lot of people have read this. It's called, it's pretty straightforward title here, Democrats Screwing Over Black Americans and Convincing Them to Want It, Like It, and Love It. One thing you can hear about Ron Edwards, people, is he doesn't mix his words. He says what he means and means what he says. That's what Dr. Seuss used to say as well, right? One of my favorite authors of all time. But say what you mean what you say. That's a Seussism comment. But that's Ron Edwards as well. He says what's on his heart. When we started here, it's actually what I said to him off the mic, actually. When we started, I said, Ron, just speak from your heart. Let's have a real conversation and talk about a little bit of the future of Black America as well. But in order to do that, we have to look at historically what's going on here as well. A question, Ron, I want you to think about here that this is not an easy question, but you'll probably have an easy answer for it because what's different about you is it's the mindset. I can, beyond the mindset, you know, most strong black conservative voices today have made a change from Democrat to Republican, and they say that immediately. Almost everybody I've met, they will give me that moment in time. In fact, even on the network here, Dr. Carol Swain does that all the time. She'll tell you exactly when that happened. She was a Democrat for a lot of years. That's mostly the case. But see, that's why I circle that wagon with you, and you immediately said, no, no, no. My mindset has always been this way. You're very unique in your thinking. And very unique, and are an amazing teacher to teach Black Americans how to live a more quality-driven life. I just can't say that enough. But think about this question, Ron. It's an important one. Why has the Democrat Party had such mind-numbing control over the Black American community? And that is a big question, people, as we continue on here on the Voice of the Nation here. Big ideas, big thoughts, big questions, more answers. Just a moment.
Listen to Malcolm, the Voice of a Nation on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
The question I always get asked is, where do I get the energy from? Well, keeping up with Malcolm Out Loud is no easy task, friends, even for Malcolm. Well, you may know that I've personally been taking Healthy Cell for some time now. Well, the great news is Healthy Cell has a new type of natural supplement called the Nutrition Gel. So no more hard-to-swallow pills. The good-tasting gel can be mixed into smoothies, yogurt, or water. These gels provide maximum absorption of essential nutrients, and it's healthy for our gut, not abrasive like pills can be. You know, it's time for all of us to go pill-free. And you can try it with a free 2-day supply. Just cover $2.95 shipping, and the company, Healthy Cell, will cover the cost of the product. Go to healthycell.com/outloud, or simply click the Healthy Cell logo at the top of AmericaOutloud.com. I mean, straight out, why has the Democrat Party had such mind-numbing control over the Black American community? Why?
Well, that's a multifaceted answer. Let's start from a long time ago, 1829, the founding of the Democrat Party, and people of that mindset, even before that party was officially put together or founded under Andrew Jackson, I believe. It's a party of oppression. They were the slaveholders. They were the people that wanted slavery to continue. And there was this weird connection. And this might blow your mind, Malcolm. There has always been this weird connection between oppressive white leftist men or Democrats and the black female. Now, I know a lot of people are going to hate me for saying this, but I've been through that ringer before, so I guess I'm used to it. When the blacks were first conquered in Africa and all that, and been brought to not only to the United States of America, but throughout the entire planet by everyone,
that's right,
and brought to this country, there was this weird connection between the black female and the oppressive white man, where unlike any other population in history that has been conquered by others and enslaved by others, the female was very cooperative with the oppressive white man, to the point where she was a danger to many of the men who would have fought against the slavery. You had exceptions to that rule, Harriet Tubman, and there were others who were battling against freedom, Sojourner Truth and others. But for the most part, they were always more complicit. I mean, I hear comments even today, very, very recently, from a black female who said, well, if I was back there in the slavery times, I'd make sure I was real nice to the white man because I'd want to be a house nigger. Because I wouldn't want to be out in the field. I mean, I don't understand whether God gave people different brains or something. I can't get into the science of it, mm-hmm. but I can get into the history of it. And I remember the comments that I've heard when Bill Clinton was in office with all of his evil, because they thought he was a good looking man. Many black females loved him. They didn't care about the oppression and the things that the Democrats had been doing. They had no problem back in the day with Lyndon Johnson, who was literally screwing black females under the steps of the Capitol while he called Martin Luther King a good nigger. This has been a sick, sick, sick myopic existence that it angers me to this day, because the reason why is because many of these people were mothers who raised boys in such a way to feel inferior to the white man. You've heard, maybe you didn't, of course you didn't, but there were comments said commonly to black boys, you ain't nothing. Who do you think you is? Mm-hmm. And so they grow up, and then because they feel bad about themselves, they're embittered. And they grow up, they're not good fathers. And of course, the black male gets the huge reputation as being no good. And it just spun out of control to what you see today. And then when you couple that with the more sophisticated attack through Margaret Sanger and others, the eugenicists, who got the cooperation of stupid, asinine black ministers, as she called them, the ones with the more charming personalities, to convince their parishioners that it would be a little cheaper if you don't have that baby. Just get rid of it, because you know you're black and you're poor, you're a victim. So even the church, the black church, helped the Democrats iron this custom of killing the babies into the mindset, into the DNA of future generations. It's been done so often and so much, it's as if it's in the DNA process of black Americans. They have been so processed by black females into thinking that they ain't nothing and they ain't got nothing coming. That, why is it, that's why they don't care anything about their fellow blacks. and they'll blow another black person away in a New York second. That is why a black Muslim put a gun to my head in New York City, because we were in a round circle. We were having a discussion, and I was asked to give my opinion about, he was alive at the time. He was a leader of the American Muslim, the Nation of Islam. And he was the guy who named Muhammad Ali, Muhammad, you know, Ali and all that stuff. And I said he was a no good guy. Because he had women, you know, children all over Chicago, and that he was a hypocrite. The next thing you know, this black Muslim put a gun to my head, and he was going to blow me away. And he pulled the trigger three times, and you know, the first time click, and before the third time, something said, "You better jump, fool, and do something." Hmm. So I did what I had to do, and the owner of the establishment told me. Because I left the guy, you know, kind of, he was kind of rearranged on the floor. He said, "Ron, just go. You know, come back in a couple of days." Because I really messed the guy up. But I'm just telling you, that is an example, Malcolm, of how the oppressive mindset has been so ensconced in the minds of many black Americans that they will attack anyone who comes along and speaks the truth. They won't admit this to you openly, mm-hmm. but they are part of the problem to help destroy this country. And if you're not one of those who are going along with it, they will just as soon shoot you as they would anyone else. You are worthless to them. And in my opinion, Malcolm, mm-hmm. you may not agree with this, I have a lower opinion of them than I even have of the white racist, because the white racist is what he is, mm-hmm. especially the ones in the South. You knew who they were. At least they were honorable enough to let you know. But then when you have these Democrat Party Northerners, mm-hmm. these fakers who pretend to be in your corner, they're for you, but every single principle that they have indoctrinated into the minds of the black American citizenry, they're destructive. And tell me if I'm wrong, if the Democrats have ever come forth with an idea or principle, law or statement that has been beneficial to the black American community. You cannot tell me that they're no good for the country, they're no good for the black American community, but because of one thing, the black American community has bought into it, because if you become bitter, you accept evil, and that is your energy. That is what you run on. That is your your animus. You're filled with hatred, mm-hmm. and so you side with the evil, even if it means self-destruction.
Yeah.
The Democrats and leftists in all facets of society, they persuaded blacks to eat trash. McDonald's. I mean, and Malcolm, through just, I guess I did my own secret study and observation, and it kind of frightened me when I came to the conclusion that I was correct, and now scientifically it's come out that when you continuously over the years eat garbage like McDonald's and this, that, and the other, you couple that with bad thinking, you are ruining your DNA. And you are less capable of being reasonable. You are intellectually less. You have ruined yourself. And when you couple this with generations over generations, you are doing to yourself what the KKK wanted to do to blacks many years ago.
Wow.
They retired because they said, "Oh, look, we can retire, boys. Look at those niggers. They're doing worse to themselves than we even wanted to do. Mm. We can retire." Mm. So when you hear these black activists talking and complaining about being oppressed in this country, just remember this one little black guy over here, Malcolm, that these guys are liars and the truth is not in them. How can black millionaires like Stephon Curry, I think that's his name, he's with the Golden State Warriors, a millionaire many, 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 many times over, walk around LeBron James is another one, and say that they're oppressed. And because so many people in the country are so brain damaged through their DNA, through bad food and many generations of bad teachings, they're so brain confused that they buy into this.
Yeah, they've convinced themselves. They've absolutely convinced themselves. Yeah, you bring out so much there. Ron, the one of the big takeaways is they don't value life. They don't value their own life. Now, that would explain a lot, Ron. That would explain why crime is through the roof in all these cities. It would explain why abortion is killing more young black people than are alive today. It would explain a lot. There's no value of life there. And, you know, a lot of times when you see these videos and these crime episodic episodes here on the weekends and things that happen in all these communities, Ron, what comes to your mind right away is that, you know, hey, they don't value life. And you can see that in their eyes, Ron, they don't value life. And that's what you're saying here. That's the core of this. There's no value of life. Right?
And I hate to say, this, Malcolm, they never did. And I'll prove my case. You can go back to before the 1400s or whatever, when the Dutch first approached South Africa, and that began the white man's entry into the official trade industry. Well, hundreds of years before that, guess who was oppressing blacks through slavery? Well, first blacks were, then the Muslims were. So they have always been open and weak to this form of oppression, and then they turn around and blame America today while ignoring their own history, their own door opening to this. They ignore the fact that not only was the white man enslaving blacks in this country, you do a little digging and you'll find that there were a good number of black slave owners in the South, believe it or not. There were Cherokee Indians who enslaved black people. And the Cherokees were very angry when the white man ended slavery in the United States of America. That's why, you know, this is one of the reasons why I feel that it is a very, very important for people to read and to understand true history. So that when you see black people running around here, you'll see them in gatherings. Oh, for the so-called Native Americans. Well, the Native Americans do not like black people any more than the people that black Americans to this day are in support of open borders. Well, the people that they want to come over here because they think they're sticking it to the man by supporting open borders. Well, the people that are coming here, the Muslims, and many of the people from Central America and Mexico, they hate black people more than anyone. Cesar Chavez, for example, a man that is heralded by the leftist blacks in this country. Well, Cesar Chavez was himself an avowed racist who said that black people can do nothing. But yet black people, to this day, support people like Cesar Chavez and the Castro brothers. So, and they think that because the Black Congressional Congress with Maxine Way Out Waters and that ilk had been going over to Cuba every day, they think that these Castro brothers like them because they're giving them counsel on how to help destroy America socially. No, they're useful idiots. They forget that they're part of a strategic framework to help Cuba and communists and other communists infiltrate this country. And if they can do it through dumb Americans, that makes their work easier.
So with all that said, Ron, the question now becomes is how do we change this trajectory? I mean, when we talk about it, and there are some things that are being done, and I want to discuss in our next chapter in conversation also what President Trump has been doing with Turning Point USA and some other very interesting things with some young black conservative voices that are out there. But really it is about the future of America and the future of black America. And with that as well, some of the problems we're talking about as well also bring, you can bridge these right over to Hispanic America. We'll continue on with the conversation in just a moment.
The silent majority has spoken. We say, let the silent voices be heard. You can be the voice of change. Contact our producer at liberty@americaoutloud.com. liberty@americaoutloud.com.
It's your news and entertainment network. News blogs, informative podcasts, entertaining videos, or listen to 24/7 talk radio. On our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We the People, AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. So hundreds of young black conservatives came to Washington, D.C. just about a week or so ago, friends. And this is it's the second year they've done this, where President Trump, and actually it's Turning Point USA who has this summit. The summit is a focus on doing all the things to change some of the things that Ron Edwards and I have been talking about, which is, where are we going to go with this? What's the future look like for Black America? In other words, how do we change it? You know, the old saying is so true. I mean, if you want to get, you know, a different result, you have to change the narrative and you have to change what you're doing. You can't keep doing the same thing and or trusting the same people or trust in the same political operatives and expect a different result. And that really is part and parcel of the problem here, I think we're seeing here. So let me tell you, Ron, what I'm seeing here with this summit that's put on with these young black conservatives who, this is second year now, they've gone to Washington, and the president spoke at this as well. There's one young gentleman, he's a 31-year-old, and now he's a Republican, he was a Democrat before, as a lot of these young men were. His name is R.C. Maxwell. Well, he says, when Trump became president, I really became dealt into the Republican Party. He energized me. He awoken something in me. Not just me, but a lot of people that you see here, because he is very genuine and he risked a lot to become president. He says the media narrative is that African Americans don't support the president. We are happy to demonstrate that there is a larger African-American community that appreciates the job that the president has done. Now, in the last election in 2016, he actually got more of the vote, black American vote, than people anticipated. What do you think happens in 2020 with the black American vote, first of all, Ron, in support of President Donald Trump? Does he get more of the black American vote this next time around, or what?
I believe he will get a larger remnant. And I say remnant because he will not get the majority of black Americans because of the deeply ensconced brainwashing. But he is reaching a lot more younger black Americans who are not so brain dead or brainwashed over many decades. So they're easier to reach. And that's where I do feel hopeful for the future of this country, because some of the young black men
you're speaking about are easy to read.
Yes.
Yeah. But of course, part of the answer, though, if we're going to change again back to the future of black America, we got to get to the education system. I think you probably would say, Ron, we got to get to young black American men and women, that young boys and girls, rather, that are in this education system and in homes. We got to change the mindset early, don't we?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. And the president is going to get a larger percentage of the black vote this time around. But here's the thing. If we do not do something to change the direction of the government school system, even if Trump gets a larger percentage of the black American vote, he's reelected and things are nice, we will go back into pre-Trump days. Unless we change the government school system, you have to change what is being taught to the young in order for the nation to take a permanent change for the better. Because what is taught to one generation dictates the direction the nation takes in the next. So we've got to stop the madness, the education or indoctrination madness, to secure our better future that is being produced today via the Trump administration.
Yeah. Let me read you this quick excerpt here from, this was in, now let me just preface this, Ron. This is from a Politico article on the recent summit that President Trump had for the Black conservatives here. Let me read this to you. And it says, but attendees at the summit said they believe Trump despite, now listen to this, Ron, and this is kind of an eye-opener because this just tells you how the media tilts the conversations. And this is what Politico is doing right here. They say this, Ron. They say, but attendees at the summit said they believe Trump, despite the birther conspiracies, still bringing up the birther, his both sides comments about the Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville, and his referring to parts of Africa as shithole countries, has done more for Black America than any other president. To them, accusations of racism against Trump stem from the media, not Trump's own actions. What do you say to that, sir?
Yeah, absolutely. Even with what Trump said, the shithole country statement, well, I hate to tell you this, Malcolm, it's based upon truth, because in those particular countries, human excrement is commonly deposited everywhere, and it dries up and blows in the sand, and you have that situation. That is literally the truth. And so people have to, you know, really grow up, put on their grown-up pants, and get along with life. And if they really want to change their position in life and stop being so sensitive. And sometimes when someone says something, and it may sound off a bit off kilter because it doesn't go along with your way of thinking, you might want to check sometimes. When you check into what Trump said about the countries, it is absolutely the truth.
But this president just opens up the doors and says, you want some truth? Here you go. And like every time they try to corner him with all, oh, yeah. And every time they try to corner him with impeachment stuff and everything else, he just throws the transcripts out there and say, yeah, here you go. Have a ball. I mean, the man is an open book of just whatever. I mean, you talk about it. I mean, I know, Ron. Come on. I mean, you talk about a deep state running in reverse. They are so running backwards here. I mean, the problems are huge. All right, let me ask you. Here's a big one. Turning Point, the founder, Charlie Kirk, who we all know here, and by the way, Charlie Kirk is a 25-year-old, he's 25, 26 right now, but that's, imagine how young this man is and what he's done already, Ron. Pretty impressive, huh? I mean,
yes.
Think about it. I mean, come on. So he says, this is the Herculean effort of the century, speaking about the Black conservative group that he has, that was actually the brainchild of Candace Owens, by the way. It's the Black Leadership Summit is what it's called specifically. And this was sort of the Blexit movement and Black Americans exit, you know, how to get exit by Black Americans from the Democratic Party, in other words, you know. Well, so Charlie puts this question out there. How can you get Black America to think different ideologically?
Wow. Boy, that's a two or three pronged approach. I'll start off with an example that I gave a former mayor of Cleveland, Mike White. Although he was a Democrat, he understood economics and the need for economic development and all of that. And one of the last things I told him, I said, Mr. Mayor, I said, when you, as you're heading up this resurgence of Cleveland, do not try to build a city based upon the complaints of the lowest common denominator. And he said, well, what do you mean? I said, do not fall into this guilt mentality. Do not allow them to persuade you to not forge ahead with the building of downtown and the tourist neighborhoods and all of those things that are going to make Cleveland a great city again at the expense of this guiltism that you're going to start seeing from the NAACP and the Urban League of Cleveland and all of those things. And exactly what had happened. They complained about the development downtown. They complained about the development all around the city and the tourists that are coming in and all of that. And without realizing that those tourist dollars are translating into the coffers of the city government that is helping the city run better, this, that, and the other, they forget the cause and effect. And remind them that if they want development in their neighborhood, they're going to have to stop shooting everything that moves and breathes in their neighborhoods. They're going to have to stop plundering and carjacking and things of that nature. Do not cave in. I mean, that is what happened to Detroit. They caved in, and now it's just now starting to crawl out from under the rock of socialist oppression here in Detroit, in the Detroit area. And he got it. He understood it. And I just told him, I said, sir, you're going to have to keep a stiff upper lip. You're going to have to take the arrows, because they're going to be coming strong after you. But if you want this city to turn around, you're going to have to forge ahead with the proper economic principles, despite whatever they may say. Number two, I said, you're going to have to be tough when it comes to law enforcement. You cannot allow yourself to be afraid to go after criminals. You have to go hard after them, because what you're seeing, sir, is when they complain about police brutality, police brutality rarely happens in this country. I'll just be straightforward with you, Malcolm. In the grand scheme of things, every day, every month, every year, who kills more people? Black people? Who beats up more people? Black people or police officers? I mean, just pick a day, any day. Who does more of these wrongdoing things, wrong acts towards an individual that they're complaining about with the police departments? Who does this all the time? And through brainwashing in schools to take away the fear of the police. If you're law-abiding, you have respect for the police. If you're a thug, you should fear the police.
Amen.
What they're trying to do is take away the fear of the police. That is why now, what I warned him about, the mayor of Cleveland years ago, has exactly come to fruition in New York and many other cities. That is why you see people walking up to police officers, throwing milk and water on them, and in some cases, bleach. That is why I think it was last week, in Los Angeles, a guy walks up to police officers and start beating him with a metal stick and things of that, because there's no more fear of the police officers. That is what they have been desiring all these years. And the reason why I understood that is because I watched how thugs operated in the streets.
Mm.
When I had to put down a gang leader, because they wanted to be able to rule and do whatever they wanted to do in the streets and to people, and they wanted you to fear them, but they did not want the people to reverence the police, and they wanted to not be able to have to fear the police. They want to be able to do what, as I used to say, get in your face and do whatever they want to do. So
that's a valid point.
But this is what you're witnessing today, and I saw this coming 20 years ago.
Interesting.
And I said, look, folks, please. I told a liberal minister about this. I said, look, I'm warning you. If you're not willing to address these issues and get into the faces of these criminals, they're going to breed and they're going to continue to expand their numbers. And they're going to be the ones who are ruling in these neighborhoods.
And that's what's happened.
And
right?
The police,
that's what's happened.
And the police. Yeah. And the police are chased out, or
right,
they are reprimanded. One quick example. Do you remember what happened with the what was that city in Missouri where they had the shooting, Michael Brown?
Ferguson, Missouri.
Ferguson. Okay. After that, do you remember when some of those thug people would get into buses and they'd go to different cities and start demonstrations?
That's right.
Well, they went to Cleveland, and it was two busloads of them. They got off the buses in downtown Cleveland. The Cleveland police showed up and said, okay, you're here. You all want to stand around and go to Nutsville. And well, that's my term, Nutsville. You all want to shout obscenities and express yourselves. You have that right. But you will not go into Playhouse Square, which is the second largest theater district outside of New York. You will not go into this district or whatever. Well, and they said, well, we can do what we want to do. And they said, well, you can try, but you shall fail. And they stood up to these people. One of them got away and ran into, it was to 4th Street, which is a block of nothing but restaurants. This thug picked up a rock, threw it through a window, literally hit a tourist from Phoenix, Arizona in the head. She was sitting right there at the window, and police caught up with him and kind of, you know, kind of turned him into a hamburger a little bit. They didn't kill him, but they really taught him a lesson. Guess what happened? The Obama administration came down on the side of the thugs and forced the Cleveland Police Department to go through retraining and how to not be a threat to these thugs, because they didn't want these people to be afraid of the police officers.
Well, and that's a bigger narrative that's been built all through the country, Ron, because what they're doing is they're giving rights to the thugs, right? They're giving rights to the criminals.
They're taking away the rights of the law protectors.
It is. It's a widespread problem that's happening. Let me ask you, have you ever been called a racist?
Yes, before they knew who I was. Yes, I have been. I've gotten even nasty letters that I was called a white racist, some horrible names that I cannot even mention here.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. And then when they found out that I'm not white, then the words even get much nastier. the public words would be Uncle Tom, and I'd throw back to them, okay, then that means you're an Uncle Joe or an Aunt Margaret then.
Oh, dear.
As in Margaret Sanger, if it were a female. So I would just throw it back at them.
Yeah.
But they never heard anyone call them an Uncle Joe or whatever.
Well,
Joe Stalin.
Right. I ask that because you are definitely outspoken about this, but you bring so much truth to the conversation. Ron, let me do this here. Tell us about your radio program. Is this daily or weekly?
Well, my radio program is weekly. It's called the Ron Edwards Experience. It's weekly. It's the flagship station is KCKQ 1180 out of Reno, Nevada, but it is rebroadcast during the weekends on numerous stations around the country. I do have what's called a daily commentary called the Edwards Notebook, and as you said, it is aired. I guess it's daily on America Out Loud
as
well.
That's right. Now that, thank you. It's called the Edwards Notebook. That's right. And it is daily here on America Out Loud Talk Radio. You're right.
Okay. Yes. And it is also heard on numerous stations around the country. The total stations around the country is of over 200, a lot of independents. It's on some of the Salem stations.
Right.
And, you know, via a very fast growing overnight talk show.
Yeah.
And it's also on other independent stations during the week as well. So
you're making good inroads. You're making good inroads, and it's called progress, and you're doing that. And again, Ron's weekly column can be seen every Thursday. Friends on America Out Loud is where you'll see that. And his opinions are very much worth the read as you dive into that. I want to leave you with this thought here. And this was said from the Candace Owens from the Black Leadership Summit. This was put on with Turning Point USA. She says, for decades, we have been disrespected by the Democrats. We have empowered their party, lined the pockets of the politicians, and gotten positively nothing in return for our blind allegiance and faithfulness. And this was her statement as she introduced President Trump at the White House at the Black Leadership Summit. You know, friends, change has to start from within. It is a mindset, which Ron has been pointing out here throughout the program. It's a mindset. You're either a victim or a victor. Yeah, that's what it always is in any community that is across the board here. And at some point, you have to change that trajectory. We all have to make a change here. We have to make a change in Black America, Hispanic America, White America, Asian America. We have to make a change throughout the entire system. Friends, it's time to get involved and get loud.